In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A special word of welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here for the first time, we're so happy to have you at St. Benedict's. We hope you feel at home. There was a man who was a farmer and lived far from the city all of his life. And he had dreamt that one day he would, after saving significant amounts of money, go out to the city and get to know all the sights and sounds and visit the theaters and the museums and the nice restaurants. He wanted to see what city life was like. And so you can imagine a man who had worked on the farm all of his life in a rural setting. When he got to the city, he was awed by everything. Everything looked so different. Everything sounded and smelled so different. And eventually he got to the place where he was staying, the hotel, and he found a very, very nice clerk who welcomed him. And he welcomed him so warmly. He was really surprised and awed by his hospitality. He said, "Wow, if this is what the city is like, this is great." And so the young man went out of his way to tell him the sights that he should see, the places, the points of interest. He pointed out all the different special things about the city that he didn't want the man to miss. And so the farmer was very much impressed. And then at the end he said, "And I want you to know, every day we have breakfast from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we have lunch from 12 noon to 3 p.m. And we've got dinner from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And all the while the young clerk was saying this, the farmer was counting, you know, the hours, you know, 7 to 11, 12 to 3, you know, 5 to 9. He said, "Gosh," he said to him, "if I'm going to be eating 10 hours a day, how will I see the city?" Radical hospitality. There's something about today's gospel that sounds like a send-off. And the reason it sounds like a kind of send-off is because it's the end of what in Matthew's gospel we know to be the missionary discourse of Jesus. This is the last part of the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples as they were being sent out to preach the kingdom. Now you can imagine in the disciples' minds and hearts everything they were going through as they were receiving these instructions from the Lord himself. You can imagine the incredible sense of expectation and the incredible sense of responsibility. And there was indeed some fear. What would it be like? And of course, Jesus is assuring them that they too will be welcomed. But when they are welcomed, by welcoming them, it is as if they were welcoming him. In other words, those who open their hearts to the message of God and to the message of God's kingdom were really, in a way, welcoming Jesus himself. There's something about this part of the gospel that I want us to really reflect on. Because when we speak of Christian hospitality, we often speak of welcoming other people. For example, newcomers to the church. Hospitality. Welcoming people to our homes, hospitality. Going to a hotel or some place that you've never visited and receiving a warm welcome and instructions and a map, hospitality. But I want you to think about spiritual hospitality as the basis of Christian hospitality. What I mean by that is, how do you and I exercise hospitality when it comes to our relationship with God, our openness to the grace of God, how do we welcome God and God's Spirit into our lives in such a radical way, in such an open and new way, that we're always able to allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us? Because before we can be hospitable to others, we must welcome God into our lives. And I believe that part of what happens in our society today is that a lot of people are talking about being spiritual but not religious. And when we speak of being spiritual but not religious, what we're really saying is, okay, I'm going to develop this spirituality my own way and do my own thing, but it's not necessarily based on the Word of God and not necessarily based on the teachings of Jesus. We kind of equate all spiritual things to be the same thing. Oh, if it's spiritual, that means it's good. I would say be careful with that. As Christians, we have a special responsibility to open our minds and hearts to the Word of God, and to do that constantly, to renew in ourselves the Spirit and the grace of God by opening our minds and our hearts to the Word of God. Because it's only when we open our minds and our hearts to the Word of God that we can actually listen to the Lord. And when we receive the Lord with that openness, then we can act in the name of God. And so as Jesus sent out his disciples, he knew they would be rejected. He knew some people would probably not offer them the glass of water, but maybe throw the glass of water on their face, right? But he still sent them out, and they still went out. They still went out. And this leads us to the second part of hospitality, perhaps the most challenging one. We are called to see the image of God in every human person. We are called to see the face of Jesus in every human person, because true Christian hospitality means that when I see you, I see the image and likeness of God, I see a child of God, and when I embrace you and welcome you, I'm not just embracing you or welcoming you because I like you or because I want you to be part of my group. I'm welcoming and embracing you because I recognize that you are a beloved child of God. You're an extension of God. You are the temple of the living God. And so we must be hospitable because we recognize the face of Jesus in every person. I don't know how many of you remember the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta, but she was a nun in Ireland, minding her own business, teaching in a girls' school. When one day on retreat, she received a call from God that she had to go and serve the poorest of the poor. So eventually that landed her in the middle of Calcutta, one of the poorest cities in the world, and a city in India. She was from Albania, teaching in Ireland, and now she was going to India. Well, one of the first criticisms Sister Teresa received was that she was going to a place that really wasn't Christian. Not too many Christians in that place. Why would you go as a nun to serve a population that's mostly Hindu and people of other faith traditions and cultures? And many times she was asked that question. Why do you do this? And she would always take people back to the story of the first day she went out on the street and found a man lying on the side of the road. And as she walked by, she saw the man, and the man said, "Keep walking, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Nobody is interested. Just let me die in peace." And Mother Teresa picked up the man, along with the other sisters that were with her, and took the man back to the makeshift convent, which was a little apartment they had, that they turned into a convent, and they fed the man, and they bathed the man, and they healed his wounds. They dressed him up, made him feel human again. And after 2 or 3 weeks, the man fully recuperated and felt really good. He felt good about life and good about himself. He no longer wanted to die. And as the man was preparing to leave, he said, "Listen, sister, I've never met a nun in my life. You know, I don't think I've met any Christians, to tell you the truth. I'm Hindu." He said, "But I just want to thank you for loving me." because by loving me, you brought me back to life. And I share this story with you because every time Mother Teresa was interviewed about why she did what she did and why she worked among populations that were mostly not Christian, she would always say, you know, when I see the person, I never ask them if they're Christian, if they share my beliefs, my faith. I never ask them if they understand my culture or if they have the same perceptions that I have. All I do is I look at them and I see the face of Jesus. I see the face of Jesus in every person. I see the presence of the living God in every person. And since I see the presence of the living God in every person, it really doesn't matter who they're from or where they are, rich or poor. Can you imagine that? Imagine if we could put a big sign out in front of our church and say, you know, when you come to this place, we don't look at your skin color, we don't look at your accent, we don't ask you where you're from. When you come here, you're just a child of God, and you're going to be loved unconditionally as a child of God. Imagine that. Imagine what the world would be like if we had that attitude that Mother Teresa had, to be able to look and see the face of God in every person and just treat them with that dignity and that respect. You know, there was someone else very close to us that taught us something about hospitality. His name was Saint Benedict. You know him? Saint Benedict. Do you know him, Saint Benedict? Okay, good. Saint Benedict was the founder of Western monasticism. He started the movement of the monks in the Western side of the church. And this is right out of the Rule of Saint Benedict, chapter 53. It says, let all guests who arrive be received like Christ. Let all guests who arrive be received like Christ. For he is going to say, I came as a guest and you received me. This is Saint Benedict quoting Matthew 25:35. And listen to how cool this is. Then he goes on to explain to the monks the kind of welcome that they should give strangers and new guests. In the salutation of all guests, whether arriving or departing, let all humility be shown. Let the head be bowed, or the whole body prostrated on the ground in adoration of Christ, who indeed is received in their persons. So Benedict was telling his monks, you know, when these people come, they are the presence of Christ. They are the body of Christ. They are Jesus truly present there. Imagine if all of us, when we saw a human being, a human person, regardless of who they are, or where they come from, or what they look like, if we saw the presence of the living God in every human being, imagine how the world would change, huh? After the guests have been received and taken to prayer, because, you know, in the monastery you don't have much of a choice, they took you to pray anyway. Let the superior or someone appointed by him sit with them. Let the divine law be read before the guest for their edification, and let all kindness be shown. The superior shall break his fast for the sake of the guest. So if the superior was the superior of the monks was fasting for some special reason, they would break the fast just to break bread and eat with the guests to show them kindness. Unless it happens to be a principal fast day, and then they had no choice. Fast for everyone. The brethren, however, the other brothers, shall observe the customary fast. Let the abbot give the guests water for their hands, and let the abbot and the community wash the feet of all the guests. After the washing of the feet, let them say this verse, we have received your mercy, O God, in the midst of your temple. In the reception of the poor and of pilgrims, the greatest care and solicitude should be shown, because it is especially in them that Christ is received. For as far as the rich are concerned, this is something Benedict says, funny. For as far as the rich are concerned, the very fear which they inspire wins respect for them. I remember one day I was pumping gas. And I know that we live in a world where all of us are concerned about our safety. And we worry about things. And it was late at night. I think I was coming back from a hospital call. And I was pumping gas, and it wasn't a very well-lit gas station. I was by myself, and I see a gentleman walking from a distance toward me. Now, when you wear a collar, you know, two things happen. Almost immediately, if you're on the street and you're wearing a collar, people kind of cling to you to ask you religion questions, right? And usually it starts something like this. Oh, Father, you know, I'm spiritual, but I haven't been to church in a long time, you know. That's usually how it starts. But the other thing that happens is that when there are people in need and they see you, they, oh, that person will help me. So I was kind of tired, to tell you the truth, and I was kind of getting ready to go home, and I'm pumping my gas, and I see this gentleman walking toward me, and through my mind, I'm getting all these images. Okay, this guy looks homeless. This can only be trouble. I don't have any money in my wallet, which I usually don't. I use plastic for everything. So probably have some change in my car. I don't have change in my car. What's going to happen? And as the man got closer and closer, I started to get a little worried. You know, what am I going to do? And the man kind of looked at me and said, "Hey, Father, your lights are on." And that's when I felt God was going. See, we make judgments based on what we see. We make judgments rather quickly. And we forget that our mission is not to make the judgment. Our mission is to see everyone the way God sees them. Or at least to try to see everyone as God sees them. Because when we begin to see people, when we begin to see others as God sees them, something happens in us. We become more Christ-like. We don't waste energy and time judging others. We spend more time focusing on what God wants us to do. And I'm convinced that when Jesus told his disciples, "Go out," the only way they were able to go out and do all those things that Jesus was asking them to do in this 10th chapter of Matthew, which is very demanding. If you read what we read a few weeks back or the last few Sundays, you'll see it's scary. Because he told them, "You're going to suffer." Basically, he told them, "You're going to die for the kingdom. You're going to suffer. You're going to be rejected. Who wants to join that club, right?" But here they were. They were going out. Why do you think they went out? They went out because they had faith and trust in a good God. As we heard the word of God today, the first lesson we heard, do you remember what happened in Genesis? The first lesson we heard was the story of who? Abraham and his son Isaac. Abraham had lots of sons, right? Right? Lots of sons? No, he had one. God gave him this son, which he and Sarah thought they would never have. And they went up to the top of a mountain. And when Abraham got up there, convinced that God was asking him to sacrifice his only son, he was doing it wholeheartedly. He didn't question God. You know, "God, why are you making me do this? This is not fair. It's the only one you gave me. You know, poor old Sarah, she's not going to have another one. God knows she was cracking up last time you told her she was going to have a child. She was cracking up. She didn't believe it. Remember that?" Guess what? He did it anyway. He went up to the top of the mountain and did it anyway. Why did he do it? Because it felt comfortable? Why did he do it? Because he was just like relaxed about the whole thing? No, he was probably stressed out. Someone was talking to me about stress today, you know, right before we started the service. And I was saying, yeah, imagine Abraham. Abraham must have been really stressed out. God's telling him, sacrifice your son. And he went up and obediently went to offer his son. But God, who is always good, God, the same God who gave us his only son and did sacrifice him on another hill, that God is the one who is inviting us to have enough faith and enough trust to be able to go into this world as it is, because there's one thing I'll tell you bothers me a lot about religious people or very Christian people, is when they're constantly condemning the world. Oh, the world's messed up. It's so bad. Look at the youth. Look at this. Look at that. God did not call us to be whiners. God didn't call us to be complainers. God called us to go and make a difference in that world as it is. If I want to see the bad news, I watch, you know, Channel 7. 10 o'clock, the big show. Boom, 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 boom. If it bleeds, it leads. You will see more blood and more messed up stuff at the beginning of that. You know, that's why we watch Peter over here, right? So, the truth is, I understand. So, the news are messy. The world is messy. I understand. You're right. But that's the world God's given us. And that's the world we're being sent out to. And in that world, all those people are created in the image and likeness of God. And that good God that we have faith and trust in, that good God that always knows what is best for us, that God is calling us to go into the world and to recognize the presence of the living God in every person, regardless of color, regardless of culture, language, socioeconomic status, poor, rich. To go into that world and recognize each person, as Saint Benedict said, to welcome them as if they were Christ. Do you know why so many people are turned off with religion today? Many people are turned off with religion because they feel the church has a lot of judgment, has offered them a whole list of rules, but has not embraced them with love. We are called to embrace them with love. I always love it when I'm out there and, you know, people talk to me and stuff, and people often say things like, man, I don't go to church because it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites, and I always tell them, yeah, we have room for one more. We always have room for one more. You know, what is it that Jesus told his disciples that they needed to do? He told them, go out. And today, we're being called to reflect on what it means to be truly hospitable. The ministry of Christian hospitality requires that we're so open to God, that we're so open to God, that because of our openness to God, we become open to each other. That's the foundation of hospitality. There's no room for judgment. There's no room for throwing the Bible over people's head and telling them this is what the Word of God says about you or about your life. That's not our job. Let God be God. Our job is to embrace and to welcome all with the love of Jesus. And one day, we will all face the Lord. And the Lord will be our judge. And that way, you can just relax while you're here. Take a break. Take a break from all the judgment. Take a break from all the finger pointing. Take a break from all of that and just let God be God. And you do what you can to recognize the presence of the living God in every person, because that's what we're called to. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.